Coming to you live from Atlanta, but raised on the mean streets of Philly. You'll be able to tell quickly. Just listen. It's the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you so much for joining the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Second hour of the show. It's coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Remember, you can listen on these great CBS Sports Radio affiliates like you're listening to right now that carry maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 hours of the show if you're lucky. If you've been really good, you may get all 4 hours of the show. But let's say you don't. Maybe SiriusXM 206 should be your option to be able to listen to CBS Sports Radio and the John Kincaid Show. Or maybe you just listen to the radio.com app and you rewind and you listen to it from the beginning. If the hunting and fishing show's on, or if Vinny Vegas is on, I got winners that you'll never believe. Call my 800 number. I got winners for you. Winners, winners. I win 90% of my games. Just call me. I'm going to get your phone number, and I'm going to get your email address, and then I'm going to badger you for the next 3 years. So just call me for that free pick. You got some of that, too. Let's some of that going on. Be careful out there. But join us. Remember, radio.com app is great. You can rewind. You can listen to the whole show at your convenience. We appreciate it. That Rocket Mortgage Studios are awesome, though. You need to help navigate that home loan process. Rocket Mortgage can help you out. They are fantastic folks. Lots going on today. And it really is it seems like there's a common thread today of personal responsibility. And it's a matter of, can you take care of your business or do you not know how to take care of your business? And we have the Denver Broncos dealing with it. We have Ohio State dealing with it. We have other people dealing with it. So I have a doctor that is and this gentleman, I've gotten the chance to meet him a few times at Braves games. And he is a doctor here in Atlanta. He chooses to stay anonymous. But I can tell you this is a man who understands infectious medicine really, really well. Infectious disease and everything. This is an expert. An expert. He's also a huge sports fan and a little bit obsessive when it comes to some of his football teams. But that's another story altogether. And he happened to be up this morning. He said it's the best time he has to do paperwork. He gets up and he's glad to be able to hear the John Kincaid Show. And he listens on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. And he sends me a note this morning. And he said, John, it's important to note, yes, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten made their decisions based on the science that they decided to trust. And there were probably some political issues at play in some of the states, in some of the regions, and otherwise. But it's also important to note, and I didn't even realize this, and then he gave me a link to be able to see it, that the majority of players that have missed games, majority of players that have missed games in college football have missed because of contact tracing, not because of positive diagnoses. He said there's a huge difference between contact tracing taking a player out of the game and a player actually testing positive for the coronavirus. He said more importantly, though, as of the numbers that his institution has, and they've been tracking college football players and NFL players, I can count on one hand the amount of college football players since college football play resumed that have currently not been able to step back onto the field after a positive diagnosis and after a quarantine period. I appreciate the insight. It's always good when the experts get involved and give us some information and help us out with that. So I wanted to make sure that got out to you there. And 855-212-4CBS is how you get in touch with the show. 855-212-4CBS is how you get in touch with the show. That's our toll-free line. And it's sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or whether you own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home's hard work. So get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. I heard people yesterday morning, College Game Day on ESPN. I watched some of that. I've heard some of our own network hosts talking about the fact the struggles of Texas football, and how Tom Herman is losing games like to Iowa State. That Iowa State beating Oklahoma and Texas in the same year is just so unbelievable that that's happened. And that Texas, I've also heard, should never lose to Iowa State. Well, that in and of itself is crazy town talk to say that somebody should never lose. Yes, when you're talking about amateur athletics, and yes, college football is big business, it's still amateur athletics. Absolutely, teams can lose. There can be huge upsets. But when I look at Texas football and people are talking about, well, Texas, Tom Herman, oh my gosh, what's going on with Texas football? Texas football showed cracks in the foundation long before Tom Herman arrived on campus. The Charlie Strong era, even, was not an era of great success, and the end of the Mack Brown administration was not great success. There were problems. And literally, Chip and Joanna were, what, 2 hours away and no one made the phone call? They fixed foundations. I've seen it. I've seen it on Fixer Upper. Do you want to see your Fixer Upper? Can you see Joanna and Chip? They could stand in front of Texas. So Chris Del Conte, the athletic director, who is a really, really smart guy and a good businessman, and he actually married one of my classmates. If you've listened to the show for a long time, you know that the Texas athletic director, Chris Del Conte, is married. He's got the 6 degrees of Kincaid down pat. He's only 1 degree separated from me because his wife went through 12 years of school with me. And she was brilliant. Dr. Robin Ward, brilliant. She's one of the smartest girls in our class. And she was the only student in our senior class that was younger than me, or my graduating class. And she's a doctor. And look what I do for a living. I'm a buffoon, a literal buffoon. But I digress. Everybody's worried about what Texas football has become. And yes, Texas has become like a bit of a punchline for people. I got to tell you this. What Tom Herman's dealing with, what Texas football's dealt with for a while now, it isn't what they're dealing with at Michigan. It isn't what they're dealing with at Penn State. It's abysmal. You can say nobody should ever say Texas should never lose to Iowa State. That's stupid. Flat out stupid. First of all, it's disrespectful that a program and a group of athletes can come along once in a while at a program and change the direction, whether temporarily or maybe set a new standard. It can happen. I went to Temple University, for God's sakes. That's my alma mater. And in football, Temple was long a just laughingstock. And then you had a series of coaches come in that knew what they were doing. And I saw my team win back-to-back 10-win seasons and have a chance each time to go to a New Year's Day bowl game. So even the worst programs over time can change their trajectory with leadership that's in charge. But what's happened at Penn State? What's happened with Michigan under Jim Harbaugh? Jim Harbaugh. Who's got it better than us? Well, every freaking program, yes. I think every freaking program in the country pretty much does. Oh, my gosh. Penn State football. Seriously? What has happened at Penn State? Now, there will be people saying, well, you got to give James Franklin some. You got to give him a pass on this season. You know what I'll give you a pass on at Penn State? If you go 5-6 let's say it's a 12 game season, you go 6-7. I'll give you a pass. What Penn State has become? I mean, honestly, I can hear Frank Gorshin, the Riddler, right now from Batman, just enjoying watching Penn State and Michigan yesterday.
It's too delicious. It's too delicious.
And I think the Joker found it ridiculous too. He thought it was delicious.
Delicious.
They love delicious. For some reason, that was the delicious term. What's happened at Penn State and Michigan? Unacceptable. And if you know on this show, I have a 3-year rule. I do not call for a head coach's firing 3 years until they've completed 3 years of their tenure. 3 years. And then I'm ready to, I've got the itchy trigger finger at that point. I'm ready to go. I will tell you that what James Franklin's done with Penn State and where they're at and what Michigan's done, they both should be gone. They should be gone because there's no way Penn State should ever have one win at this point. And I don't care how many games they played. And there's no way Michigan should be where they're at. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS if you want to join us here on the John Kincaid Show. It's an NFL on CBS doubleheader today. The early games highlighted by the Colts clashing with the Titans. Then in the late game, the marquee matchup. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs taking on Tom Brady and the Bucks. Coverage begins at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, with the NFL Today. The NFL Today is on CBS, so make sure you are tuned in. That marquee matchup with the Chiefs and the Bucks. Is it a marquee matchup because of what we think the Bucks are supposed to be? You put the Chiefs on. The Chiefs are a marquee matchup. Gotcha. Chiefs are a marquee matchup. I will read it as they tell me to read it. And I read it as they told me to read it. But are the Bucks a marquee matchup anymore? Because Tom Brady's showing up. Is it a marquee matchup anymore? The Rolling Stones played a concert in Atlanta a year or so ago. I am a huge fan of the Rolling Stones. I'm not a huge fan of any music. I shouldn't say that. I'm not a big music guy, but I love the Stones. Rolling Stones music, always in the rotation, you know, always in my iTunes. Love them. And I had a friend that said, do you guys want to come with us and go see the Rolling Stones? And I said, do we have a Wayback Machine? Do I get to go into a time machine and see the Stones when they weren't 95 years old? No, I don't want to see them. No. I don't. I saw Bruce Springsteen in the mid-80s, early 80s and mid-80s. Perform. He was a fantastic performer. It was great. Do I want to see Bruce Springsteen now? Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. No, I don't. I don't need to see Grandpa pulling off the same act, trying to be the same guy. Oh, and then telling me how to vote and what I should think about this issue and that issue. I don't want that either. But if you gave me a Wayback Machine, I'll go see Springsteen. If you give me a Wayback Machine, I'll go see the Rolling Stones. I'll absolutely love it. Santa Claus is coming to town. Oh, gosh. You better watch out because your ears are going to bleed. When this song comes on, a new station I need. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, when I say, you know, you're supposed to be, the Bucks is supposed to be a marquee matchup. I get derailed so easily, man. I'm like a 7-year-old with ADD. Tom Brady is supposed to be marquee television. He's not. Give me the Wayback Machine and Tommy Boy is. Great movie, by the way, Tommy Boy. But, see, I got derailed again. See that? I'm like, look, a rabbit. The Tom Brady isn't marquee television. And the Bucks, more importantly, we're supposed to be this all-in, like the drunk guy at the blackjack table. He asks to change out 100, and he gets $5 chips or $25 chips, and he wins a couple hands, and then he puts all the chips. The drunk guy is always going to put all the chips up. They feel like they're on a winning streak, and they decide to go for broke, and they always they get the broke. They're going for broke, and they get the broke. There's a reason that term exists. There's a reason why the Bellagio costs billions of dollars to build and maintain. Because of the fact that that's what you're going to do. You're going to lose. You're going to go for broke. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers did that. Betting that Tom Brady was not going to have decline. Betting that Tom Brady was going to be able to be the same guy that they believed he could be. Even though you had seen in New England that there was some decline, not terrible decline, but there was some decline in the skill set. Better than probably 2/3 of the guys out there, but there was most certainly decline. that Bucks didn't check the Carfax, though. They didn't. They didn't see what was under the hood. Because Tom's not the same guy. And more importantly, if the Bucks lose today, I'm tired of hearing about the Bucks being an actual factor, because they're not. If they go toe to toe for four quarters and lose a nail, they can lose 37-34, 31-28, something like that. I'll consider that legitimate. They don't have to win the game against the Chiefs, but I need to see a lot more out of the Tampa Bay Bucks than what I've seen. Because if they want me to read a promotion saying it's a marquee matchup of the day, really? Have you watched Brady and the Bucks lately? Seems like there's some psychological warfare going on within their own organization, and that's not good. All right, Anthony Piano creates this masterpiece for you every week. If you missed anything in the world of college football, including all the cancellations, you'll hear about it next in the fallout. It's the John Kincaid Show. This is CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show. This is the fallout. Now on the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
By the way, my wife hates JK Show. She hates it. Because she says it reminds her of Just Kidding. She just hates it. We ain't kidding about any of this. This is the fallout. This gets you caught up on everything in the world of college football from yesterday. And we start with number one, Alabama. Versus number 22, Auburn. What a joke that Auburn was in the top 25. P.U. What a terrible day. Here's the legendary Eli Gold from Learfield IMG College.
Play action fake. Then he pumps. Throws long. Devontae wide open. He is so wide open. It's unbelievable. Touchdown, Alabama. 66 yards.
Devontae Smith, 7 catches for 171 yards. Mac Jones, 302 yards, 5 TD passes. Notre Dame, Alabama rolled over Auburn 42-13 on Saturday without Nick Saban. So, Nick Saban, what was the experience like watching your team play from home?
Sark did a nice job of managing things. And I sat here and felt a little helpless that I could see things and, yell at things and listen to Miss Terry cheer downstairs. It's a little different, but still feels good to win.
I don't believe for one second that Nick Saban didn't speak to his coaches on the phone, didn't have some sort of communication going on, whether it was by email or text, because Coach is a genius. So, Alabama battles LSU next Saturday night after their huge 42-13 victory in the Iron Bowl. By the way, one team looked like iron, one team looked like flimsy tinfoil. Number two, Notre Dame. I got a little ahead of myself earlier. I was watching some of this game on Friday afternoon at a bar. Don't at me. It was very nice. We were socially distanced and everything. Had a good time. Notre Dame and North Carolina. Could the Tar Heels pull off an upset? Here's Paul Burmeister on the Notre Dame Radio Network.
Kyren Williams as the eye back. Takes the handoff up the middle into the end zone. Touchdown, Notre Dame. That's the touchdown that'll do it here in Chapel Hill.
It isn't the 31 points they put on the board that impressed me. It's the 17 that they held North Carolina to in their 31-17 victory. Notre Dame is going to get a spot in the ACC title game, barring a misstep. UNC scored touchdowns on its first two drives, but then the Fighting Irish just shut them down from that. Tar Heels with season-low 298 yards. Unbelievable. Sam Howell, one of the best passers in all of college football, threw for just 211 yards and a score. Fighting Irish host Syracuse in their home finale coming up next week. Brian Kelly, what's your team made of?
Really great win on the road against an outstanding opponent in North Carolina. Prolific offense. Our defense was outstanding, especially in the second half. One of those road wins that really shows the mettle of your football team.
It did. And again, one team was mettle. But North Carolina put up a good game, and that was a really, really good game. Number three, Clemson, taking on Pittsburgh, and they were wearing purple. It was strange. But Dabo Swinney had to be really happy. A 52-17 victory, and he got Trevor Lawrence back. 403 yards and 2 touchdowns. Trevor Lawrence hadn't played in 5 weeks. Dabo, did that feel good?
it almost felt like an opener all over again. We were really eager to play, and obviously it's not an opener because we played a bunch of games. But, you know, every week it's been like, all right, who can play this week? It's been a good challenge. It's made us better as coaches. It's made us better as a team.
Trevor Lawrence, 32-1 as a starter. But Pittsburgh quarterback Kenny Pickett, the story. He threw four interceptions, three in the first 8 minutes, that all led to Clemson touchdowns. I think the quarterback room is going to be very interesting there this week. Congratulations to Clemson as they roll along. Texas A&M, waiting for one of the top four to fall apart or to take a misstep. And guess what? Notre Dame should play Clemson, so that will probably have a chance to happen. Texas A&M and LSU, they had revenge on their mind. Here's Andrew Monaco from Learfield IMG College.
From their own nine from the right hash. Trips left for the Tigers. Here comes pressure. Hit as he throws, intercepted at the 15-yard line. Buddy Johnson, touchdown Aggies! The pressure, the pick, and six. Buddy Johnson.
Buddy Johnson, baby. A 15-yard interception return. Isaiah Spiller, 141 yards and a touchdown. Texas A&M knocked off LSU, 20-7. The Aggies limiting LSU to 36 yards rushing. Wow, that is crazy. Texas A&M visiting Auburn next Saturday. So, number six, Florida versus Kentucky. Would the Gators' offense continue to roll? They've been so, so impressive. Another impressive guy, Mick Hubert from Learfield IMG College.
Trips wide to the right for the Gators. Pitts, a tight end with his hand in the dirt on the left. Snap back to Trask. Throws the ball down the field for Pitts. At the 35. Pitts at the 30. At the 20. At the 10. And he's going to go all the way. Oh, my. In his first game back after injury, he just went 56 yards for a Gator touchdown.
Kyle Pitts is freaking awesome. Three touchdowns after coming back from the concussion and the broken nose. Florida wins 34-10, and Pitts has 11 touchdowns in 5.5 games. He is awesome. By the way, Kyle Trask's three TD passes gave him 34 in the season, moving him past Tim Tebow and into a tie for third on the school's single-season list. So the Gators can secure a spot in the SEC title game by beating Tennessee for the 15th time in the last 16 years. Sorry about that, Rocky Top. Number eight, Northwestern, on the upset alert. Wait a minute, they're playing Michigan State. They're not going to lose to Michigan State, are they? Uh-oh! Yeah, they are! Northwestern loses 29-20. They were sniffing themselves all week. And Michigan State, one of the worst offensive teams in the entire realm of college football, beats them 29-20. Spartans lost a 17-0 lead. But man, they come out with a victory. That is unbelievable. Northwestern head coach Pat Fitzgerald, that's a tough one.
Really disappointed in the outcome of the game, but we have all of our goals in front of us. And, you know, that's something I told the guys after the game. We didn't come up here and play clean football, and Michigan State played clean enough to win, and we credit them. But we've got to get back to work here next week and, you know, find a way to go 1-0.
All right, Georgia taking on South Carolina. Georgia still somehow, I guess, thinking they're in the mix for something this year. Maybe it's just a good bowl game. And here's Scott Howard from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
We'll hand it off to Cook straight up the gut. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. They won't catch him. James Cook with his second rushing touchdown of the night. And the Dogs answer a South Carolina field goal with a touchdown. It's 27-10.
It ended up 45-16. Georgia running for 332 yards. JT Daniels, 10 of 16 for 139 yards with two TDs and an interception. It was an amazing interception, by the way. South Carolina got a first down, but they were already down 21-0 in the game, and they've lost five in a row, allowing at least 45 points in four of the defeats. Not good. Bulldogs have their regular season finale at home Saturday against Vanderbilt. Okay, we'll wrap up with this. Number 12, Indiana versus Maryland. Who would have thought Indiana and Maryland would have been a marquee game? But it was. Here's Don Fisher from Learfield IMG College.
Stevie Scott of the Wildcat ready to take the snap from Harry Kreider. Here it comes. Stevie sprints to the end zone, dives, touchdown Indiana. And Indiana scores six more as they continue to rock the boat here in the fourth quarter.
Stevie Scott runs for three scores, Indiana's defense forces three more turnovers, registered three sacks in a 27-11 victory over Miami. Here's the problem for the Hoosiers. Michael Penix Jr. left the game in the third quarter with a lower right leg injury and did not return. He's going to be evaluated. They're going to know more on Monday. So, the Hoosiers are going to try to clinch the number two seed in the Big Ten East next Saturday at Wisconsin. That's where we're at. That's the world of college football. We had some cancellations, too. If your team doesn't show up in the fallout, you are to go to Tony Pierno on Twitter and complain, because he makes these kind of decisions because he's a smart man. And that's a pretty good fallout here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Has anyone ever, when I tell them to do that, has anyone ever complained to you? Anthony, have you ever got anybody that complains to you?
Not me, not yet.
See? They're a little afraid. They're a little afraid of the fire you bring to the table.
Can sing, hum, or recite almost every TV theme song. And he's actually proud of that. Go figure. Back to the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And I appreciate you being a part of the show. You're always welcome to jump in at 855-212-4CBS. Love it when you do. It's been a little quiet this morning, Anthony, on the phones. A little quiet this morning, eh? I think I'm not inspiring the people this morning maybe to get as involved in the show.
Maybe everyone's still recovering from Thanksgiving on Thursday.
A little tryptophan, cashing in, could do it. Maybe works out. Sarah Fuller made history yesterday. And she became the first female to appear in a game in a Power 5 conference in college football yesterday as a kicker at Vanderbilt. One of the players on the Vanderbilt women's soccer program. And she was brought in yesterday due to COVID absences. They needed somebody to step in, and Sarah Fuller took the opportunity, and good for her. Good for her. Girl dad. I guess you got to say that now. Girl dad. I'm a girl dad. I guess that's got to be said now, right? Girl dad. It bothers me. I love the fact that I had thought the panic that came over me when my wife and I found out that we were having a girl, the panic that came over me was intense because I had not grown up around girls. I had a sister who was almost 11 years older than me. So you don't really grow up together. To me, the idea of being a father to a girl was intense anxiety about what are we going to do together? How are we going to forge a relationship? I don't know what she's into because I'm not into anything. Now, Anthony would probably say the soap operas, but other than that, I'm not into anything that like the teenage girls might be into. So you're raising a girl, it's now become intense. But now it's become the whole public mantra of girl dad. I'm a girl dad. It's like fathers patting themselves on the back for, I'm a girl dad. I tell my daughter that, I'm telling her she can be anything she wants to be. I'm a girl dad. Dude, you're a father. And generations before you were fathers. And men have raised women forever. And yes, there are some who maybe raised them in more, in different times, different eras. But the self-congratulatory girl dad stuff on social media just makes me roll my eyes. I'm a girl dad. I'm seeing it now in the back of pickup trucks and everything. I'm a girl dad. Good for you, dude. You made a girl. Made a girl. Well, John, that's not what it means. Being a girl dad means that you're in touch with telling your daughter she could be anything she wants to be. Well, I don't have to hashtag it on Twitter and be a girl dad to tell you that that's exactly how I've raised my daughter. From the time she was a child. And I didn't need a hashtag. I didn't need a girl dad to tell my daughter she could be anything she wants to be. To show her. Well, then, John, that just means you were living the girl dad lifestyle. Yeah, just without the sticker on my car and the hashtags all over social media when I do something with my daughter. My girl dad moment today. My daughter and I are going to the mall. How about that? We're going to have lunch together, too. How about that? Is that girl dad? Yeah. So the Sarah Fuller story had all the girl dad types out in force yesterday. Girl dad. See, girls, you could be anything you want to be, girls. You could be anything you want to be. Guys, I'm telling you, if it took a football game, for you to show your daughter or to get the message to your daughter that she can be anything she wants to be in life, I'm going to tell you here, you stink as a father. You stink as a father. I don't need to know your parenting skills to know that you stink at it. If it took Sarah Fuller appearing in a Vanderbilt football game, and again, congratulations to Sarah being in the game. Congratulations. And do I think it's awesome that she was in the game? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to say, not really. Sure, it's an oddity. It was different. Do I think it's something that's sustainable? No. Do I think that it's something that Vanderbilt football sort of enjoyed the publicity from? Yeah, I do. Oh, that's not going to be popular. People are going to be like, see, you're hating on Sarah Fuller. No, I'm not. Not at all. It's a neat story for Sarah. It's a neat story for Sarah. And but I'm more to just attack the mindset of if you needed Sarah Fuller to play for Vanderbilt football for you to be able to say, girl, dad, see, I teach my daughter she can be anything she wants to be. If it took a woman playing in a college football game for you to get that message to your daughter, you're an atrocious parent. You're atrocious because that should have been the message you've given her since birth. So I bring a mother onto the show. Sabah joins us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. Sabah, was that a little extreme? Was I off base? You are a girl mom.
You're a guy mom, though, too, aren't you? I sure am.
Now, is it guy mom? Do you have that on the back of your truck or your minivan? Guy mom.
No, sir, I do not.
Boy mom.
And I tell my kids all the time, no, you can't be anything you want to be. You're not going to be a stripper. You're not going to be a prostitute. Okay? And my girl will not be playing tackle football.
See?
Because it's funny that, now, I don't mind if she kicks and gets off the field. Don't let anybody touch it because it's funny how all the COVID warriors and everything, this girl had a lot more chance of dying from a hit on that field than any COVID risk.
She absolutely did. She absolutely did. There was more physical risk to that young lady yesterday being on a football field with grown men at high speeds than there was ever for a
virus. They're all championing. Yeah, go out there. If you get hit and die, it's okay.
I mean, it does make it. It's very strange to me. It's a strange story.
Their logic is so screwed up; they can't even explain it.
Well, I don't even understand the whole that. Am I wrong on the girl dad thing, though? I mean, honestly,
it's like guys picking up his teammate. Why do you champion that? That's like normal.
You should be teaching your daughters. We should all be teaching our daughters they can be anything. And by the way, this isn't 1955. My daughter was born in 2003. She knows she can be whatever she wants to be in the world. And her dad will have something to say about it.
I don't know if you know this, John, but you know, I am a surgeon, so I'm in a very male dominated field. I was told 3 straight years in residency that I don't have what it takes. I should be home taking care of kids. I tried to get each professor 3 straight years, my 3rd, 4th, and 5th year, tried to kick me out of the program. But I survived.
Yeah. So you survived.
And now I'm very successful. I love my life. I got another question for you about the Notre Dame issue, if I could.
Sure, absolutely.
I was proud of my Tar Heels. It was a 1-score game for the longest time. They started blitzing up the middle, and our backs, who are great at scoring touchdowns,
They're not as good at protecting.
Cannot block. Yeah. Right. They can't pick up the blitz. So we should have adjusted, and we didn't. And we're not Notre Dame. I got that. But God, if we could just adjust it. But
But Max got you guys. Max got you pointed in the right direction. I got to run and take care of your.
Oh, I got a quickie.
Why
do they use us when they need us for the dance? But now they're going to dump us right afterwards. They should not be allowed to be in the playoffs.
Well, I've already told you that I believe that the ACC caved, and I appreciate your call. I believe the ACC caved. Notre Dame should have had the proverbial poison pill. Join the ACC. You want to play football in 2020, join the ACC. You don't get to just jump in for a season and decide to hang out for the year and then go. This isn't a test drive. But the ACC caved. They had the leverage. They had hand. They had the opportunity to tell Notre Dame exactly what the what for was, and they didn't do it. They didn't have the guts to do it. But I got to tell you, if the College Football Playoff Committee was watching on Friday, the Fighting Irish looked that was an incredibly impressive defensive performance. Defensively, that team really, really impressive. So I'm hoping that we're going to, let's put it this way. I have a little more respect for the Fighting Irish than I did on Friday morning. So I'm going to give you that. I'll give you that to deal with. 855-212-4CBS if you want to get in with us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. See, we have surgeons that call the show, folks. We have surgeons. There's a different echelon of caller to the show. I will tell you that much. So the NFL, as you look towards this week, we get some breaking news coming out of Philadelphia that Jalen Hurts has been getting first-team reps with the Eagles offense. Okay? There are certain things you get to do as a head coach. They're like playing, you're playing cards. And there are certain cards that you get to play. And you have a certain amount of time to play them. And if you don't, you can only play certain cards once. And the Jalen Hurts card is one that Doug Peterson is only going to get to play once. So if he decides tomorrow night on Monday Night Football to play Jalen Hurts significant minutes at quarterback, then he is putting himself at risk long term. But maybe he doesn't care. Maybe that's the reasoning here. Maybe he doesn't care at all what kind of risk he's putting himself in. Because reports were out of Philadelphia yesterday, published reports, that Doug Peterson wouldn't mind finding a new landing spot. He must really not be enjoying the Carson Wentz experience. Because I can tell him, Doug, I haven't been really enjoying the Doug Peterson experience every single week, having to watch that. I sat in a Chickies and Pete's in Drexel Hill last week. We're ready to drown my sorrows. And I almost had fries last Sunday. That's how bad it was. I was almost going to stress eat watching them play so miserably against the Browns. But Doug Peterson has one chance to make that call, to go to the Jalen Hurts card and to play him significant minutes. Because here's what potentially happens. Jalen Hurts looks like garbage. You have no card to play. Well, if Jalen looks terrible, we could always go back to Carson Wentz. Why not? You were an NFL quarterback. You're an NFL head coach. You won a Super Bowl. You should be able to develop Carson Wentz. And if you can't develop Carson Wentz, and more importantly, you developed him and then he severely regressed to where he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL this year. That is on the Doug Peterson resume, every bit that it is on the Carson Wentz resume. So if Doug Peterson did want to exit the Eagles, what do you do? Are you the Jets? Are you knocking people over to get to Doug Peterson? How does the interview process go? Joe Douglas and Jets ownership says, so Doug, tell us how you're going to develop, how are you going to develop Trevor Lawrence? Are you going to do the same things you did with Carson Wentz? Because we're not really liking that. That's it. Is it really not working out? That doesn't look good for us. Do you have a better plan? Hey, Doug, if you're going to, Justin Fields, the Detroit Lions want to bring in Doug Peterson. Hey, we're going to try to draft Justin Fields. Jacksonville Jaguars want to bring in Doug. We're going to bring in Justin Fields. Tell us how you're going to develop him. Are you going to develop him better than you develop Carson Wentz? Because if you're the quarterback whisperer, you're the guy who played in the NFL and you're supposed to be able to develop it. It's supposed to be better. Here's Peterson earlier in the week addressing the media about the Carson Wentz situation.
You're not making that move, right, Doug, to a different quarterback? Not today on Wednesday, no.
Okay, possibly for Monday?
I'm focused right now on getting better today. I mean, okay. We're looking, I don't know. I mean, I would say no.
Carson's your starter for Monday?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how you trip up on that question. As the head coach of an NFL team, if you wanted to open the door to a quarterback controversy, you did it. And the media is always being accused, especially in Philadelphia, the media is always being accused of being the ones who create the drama. Doug Peterson there created his own drama. He's the one who created it. By not having a better definitive answer on hand when asked about his starting quarterback, Carson Wentz. We're only at halfway of the show. Bill Bender will discuss the world of college football with us, coming up around 20 minutes past the hour, and the dilemma that Ohio State finds them in. I'll have my first four in college football. Plus, why would you want this guy if you were looking for a coach? Second half of the John Kincaid Show comes your way next. Stay tuned, won't you? CBS Sports Radio.